Greetings to each one in Jesus' name. I've been contemplating of late how decisions can lead us. I've lived long enough to see how what seemed like relatively minor decisions has made a huge difference in my life and in the life of people that I've known. And at the time, we hardly thought that that decision would have such a dramatic impact. One time years ago, I decided to travel with a group of people somewhere to a meeting. And what came out of that was my interest in a girl to whom I am now married. And I have to wonder yet, if I hadn't gone on that trip, what would have happened? And where would I be today? I don't know. But we say, well, it doesn't, you know, such a minor decision to go on a trip somewhere. That's neither right nor wrong in itself. And yet, even what we think are minor decisions can make a huge amount of difference. Which way am I headed? In the western part of North and South America, there are mountain ranges that you have to cross before you get to the Pacific Ocean. And many of those mountains are very high. The highest mountains in North and South America are found in the western part of the country, and they have to be crossed before you reach the Pacific Ocean. Now, passing through these mountains, all the way from Alaska and northern Canada to the southern tip of South America, there is an imaginary line. And that line is called the Continental Divide. And on some roads that you use to cross those tall mountains, you'll get to a place where you'll see a sign that says Continental Divide. And the Continental Divide is simply the place where all streams that flow from that point either flow to the east or to the west. And when you cross the Continental Divide as you're going west, any streams after that divide flow west eventually to the Pacific Ocean. And any streams to the east of that line flow into other rivers, which eventually flow in to the Atlantic Ocean or some branch of the Atlantic Ocean, such as the Gulf of Mexico. Now, we're told that there's a place in British Columbia. I've never been there. It would be interesting to see it. In British Columbia, Canada, there's a place where there's a small stream that comes out of the side of a mountain. And there comes a point, I'm not sure if it's a rock that causes it or what causes it, but there is a point where that stream divides into two parts. And since that spot is the Continental Divide there, the one stream eventually flows into rivers that flow into the Pacific Ocean, and the other stream flows eastward toward the Atlantic Ocean. That's the Continental Divide. And when a drop of water reaches that dividing point, it must go with one stream or the other. And its future is determined. And that's the direction that it's going. Now, in life, we make decisions every day. And these decisions involve our thoughts, our words, and our actions. And they can turn our life in a direction, a right direction or a wrong direction. In spiritual matters, and I guess in physical matters too, we today is setting the course for the future. Now, unlike the drop of water, if we go wrong, if we're going the wrong direction, if we're in the wrong stream, the Lord, in His mercy, can still lift us out of that stream as we come to Him in repentance and obedience. That's still possible. All analogies tend to break down. But we all know from the Scripture that somewhere, sometime, we're going to reach a point of no return. And we say, yes, that's at death. When we reach death, that is a point of no return. But I'm not convinced, but what it is possible to reach that point of no return while still living in this life. Where will my decisions take me? The decisions that I made in the last months and days, what direction is it going to take me? Today is the key to the future. Today is the day of salvation, the scripture says. Today is the day of surrender to the Lord's will. We cannot wait until some more convenient time to prepare for the future. Today is the time. Turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3 speaks about a group of people who made choices. And in this case, they were wrong choices. And then the passage goes on to challenge us to learn from their sins, to learn from their disobedience, and to make the right choices. Hebrews chapter 3, we'll begin with verse 7. Verses 7 through 11 is the background of those who made wrong choices. And then beginning with verse 12 is the challenge to us today. Hebrews 3, 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness. And that's taking us back to the early history of the children of Israel. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart. They have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. The children of Israel had hardened their hearts in unbelief. And their sin is an example for our benefit, for our profit. And we can often look and learn from what has happened to other people. And we can learn, at least I have learned, from my own past mistakes, my own past sins. And I have learned to go a different direction. Now verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. That brings it to the present. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. And with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. And it's comforting to me that it says that it was not all of them. Sometimes we tend to think that it was absolutely all of the children of Israel who disobeyed God and rebelled against him, but it was not all of them. And as the prophet learned, there were still 7,000 in Israel who had not bowed their knees to the image of Baal. And that's true today. Not everyone does wrong. We can't ever use the excuse, everybody else is doing it, because that's not true. Unbelief is the absence of faith. It's the absence of faithfulness and obedience to God. And this passage calls us to make sure that we're not living in unbelief and rebellion against God. The choice is ours. What are we going to choose? One man described it this way. He said, it seems to me that there are two dogs fighting in my mind. The one is a black dog, very bad and very savage. The other is a white dog, gentle and good. The black dog fights with him almost all the time. And which one wins? Whichever one I say sick him to, or go get him. That's the one that wins. Well, verse 13 that we just read introduces the solution to going the wrong direction, the solution to sin. And note the word but at the beginning of that verse. But, it says, exhort one another daily while it is called today. Exhort one another, help each other in faithfulness to the Lord. And I know it's hard sometimes to do that, because We put our own lives at stake, and if we point out the inconsistency of another person, we're apt to have some inconsistencies in our lives revealed. There's a similar thought to this verse 13. Notice it speaks about being hardened through deceitfulness of sin and of exhorting one another. And Hebrews 10:25 says, "Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Am I faithful to the Lord and faithful to His church? Am I faithful in exhorting? Do I take an uncompromising stand? Lenin was the founder of communism in Russia many years ago. And he had a following, a huge following of people. And they were devoted to communism. And Lenin once said this about the choices that people made in relation to following the teachings of communism. He was speaking of the Communist Party. And he said, "We will not accept into membership anyone with any reservations whatsoever, and unless he is an active, disciplined, working member in our organization." And that's what caused communism to prevail. The people were devoted. They were active. They were disciplined. They were working members of the organization. They were not sitting on the back benches at all. And how much more should this be true of Christians? How much more should this be true of the faith? And if we read carefully the words of Jesus, we learn that Jesus expects nothing less than Lenin did. Only he expects it spiritually and for our good. A similar thought is explained in the Schleitheim Confession of Faith, which was the first Anabaptist confession of faith. And it says there, "Baptism shall be given to all those who have learned repentance and amendment of life, and who believe truly that their sins are taken away by Christ, and to all those who walk in the resurrection of Jesus Christ and wish to be buried with him in death so that they may be resurrected with him." Utter, complete devotion. And should it be any less true with us today? The children of Israel sinned in at least two ways. There was hardness of heart and there was unbelief. And I'm not sure which one was first, but they fed on each other. And we must take heed lest we be guilty of the same. Verse 14 teaches that we are to live faithfully a day at the time. It says, "For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold," or if we continue to hold, "the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end." And that's a daily experience of going in the right direction. Today is the day to live for the right. Today is the day to choose to go in the right direction. No matter where we are today, we can begin right here, going the right way spiritually. An early American minister named Jonathan Edwards had these resolves that he wrote down for future generations to read, and they're good resolves in relation to going in the right direction. He said, "Each day I will live with all my might. I will never lose a moment's time for God. I will never do what I would despise in another. I will never do anything out of revenge. I will do nothing I would be afraid to do if this were the last hour of my life." In conclusion, turn to Hebrews chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. In verse 16, it's a challenge to head in the right direction. "Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest," that's the rest of God, "lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." And then going to verse 16, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and grace to help in time of need. Which way are we going? Let's kneel in prayer.